99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 11:06 our time. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Phone number 775-884-9910, not just for calls, but also texts. All right, here are the texts. John, I'm totally in favor of a data center in Yerington. I live in Reno. All right, I'll read this one. Hi, John. You kept on interrupting, and we had no opportunity to truly understand the points of view and facts your guests were attempting to get across. At times, you tend to talk too much. Regards. If you want to play those back to yourself, I would say, I'm estimating here, I would estimate that they said they used 9 times more words than I did. Like I said, some people are fired up about an issue. I understand that. They perceive the data center in Yerington to be a terrible thing, very emotional. So it was two people. They were passing the phone back and forth, and it was pretty much a speech. And I understand how they feel. I do, but if I don't interrupt certain people, the whole segment would be 15 minutes of them. Not only that, but we have a slight delay on this system, and they hear my words about 2 seconds later, and it always leads to kind of a clash with the conversation. That's why actually texts work better. But I welcome them back again and everything like that. I just would like to have a nice, easygoing conversation and trade some things back and forth. But that's quite a monologue. No hard feelings, but just speaking. I mean, if you listen to it again, they pretty much have the floor. So I like to keep things moving. 11:08, back on this, what was I talking about? Oh, the flock cameras. Okay. If you missed it, I said that I think these flock cameras, as disturbing it kind of is to have a camera looking at you from a pole at an intersection, I think they have been used very effectively in our region. I think they're tremendously beneficial. Let's say you have a string of burglaries at different places. Well, if you had a license plate reader at various spots here in town, if you had a bunch of burglaries in a Reno neighborhood, and if the neighborhood had 5 burglaries, you might ask the license plate readers near there, are there any license plates that drove near those places at the time of all 5 burglaries? Is there one license plate that was at all 5? And like if you're having or trying to track a person, if there's been a kidnapping, stuff like that, you can sort, you know, data mine what plates were there and when. To see if you can find any clues to solve these crimes. To my way of thinking, all of that is wonderful technology that serves to protect us. But you have a lot of folks who, they don't like cops, and they hate anything that helps the cops fight crime. There are people like this. These are people on the left. And you also have some people on the right, including there's a Republican in the House of Representatives, a guy by the name of Tim Burchard, out of Tennessee. He wants to federally ban technologies like this in large measures. He says, oh, they infringe on people's rights, and the government will be tracking you if you're a gun owner or, you know, something like that. And I find those arguments unconvincing. Let's go to the phones. Mike is calling from Carson. Hey, Mike, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Oh, me too. I like the topics you bring up. That's what keeps bringing me back. As far as the flock cameras, first thing I think of when I've heard of them before, every time, is the few times I've been to China. And it's an awesome place to visit. I sure as heck wouldn't want to live there. They have clusters of cameras everywhere. They're not just reading license plates. And that's my concern. If it was strictly license plates, you know, good intentions. But if it stays with that, hey, excellent. Sounds good. But what about the part we don't know, that reasonable suspicion has to be applied here?
Well, it there's a little bad in that, like you said. But the question, I guess the thing is that wins me over is I think there's more bad or more good than that bad.
Yeah, well,
how bad could it be?
Sometimes those come out. Mm-hmm. It could be very bad, just as you mentioned the Congressman Burchett mentioned, which I'm lightly familiar with what he said, but you shed more light on it. I don't disagree with that. But at this point, I don't think that's really what's going on. But where do we go next? You know, they're mm-hmm. taking pictures of people's faces if they choose, and much right. more. I'll let you get on to someone else unless you want to ask me a question. But China's a great place to vacation. People don't think of it. It's so many fantastic places.
You know what? That was a fun show last Saturday talking about places to go. I'm obsessed with travel, and it's good to hear from somebody who went. You went to China, huh?
Yeah, you can pick up your visa. It was real quick, all within a week at the consulate in San Francisco. I went Monday. I came back Friday and picked it up, and it was easy as could be. Right in. They, you know, you just make sure you're not bringing stuff. They don't let you. I didn't have any problems, and I'm going back again in a few months. You know, awesome. It should be really nice. Bang, Shanghai, Beijing, Xi'an, places sure. like that.
Check back with us, Mike. Especially when you come back or you have another topic. See, you're a easygoing, reasonable conversation guy. Love it. I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you so
Me
much.
Me too. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, my friend. Let's Bye. Go to Nate calling from Carson today. Hey, Nate. I'm John. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, John. What's up, Nate, down here in Carson? Hey, I'm just calling, John. You know, I walk everywhere, and, you know, I just can't help but to notice the roads are completely falling apart. And, I mean, potholes everywhere. Even I live on the west side, so you'd think it'd be a little nicer because of the governor's mansion. But it's like the roads are just a disaster. And so where's all the money going to that are supposed to be for the roads of Nevada? Can you answer that?
I say exactly what you're saying almost every week, Nate. We live in what I think is a pretty good neighborhood, but the street is a rutted mess. It's horrible. And the city, what they've done is, if there's a terrible pothole, they will come out and they will patch it. And if you go down my street, you will see, driving down this short two-block area, you'll see like 8 patches on this street. And I stopped one of the crews there and I said, you know, the whole street could kind of use a makeover here.
Well, we can only do so much.
Well, yeah, okay, but I think you're spending more time doing the 8 patches than it would be doing repaving this street. I mean, it's so bad, it's crumbling up to my driveway. And you're bumping along as you back out of the driveway. So residential streets are really bad. But major roads, bumpity bump, yeah. I understand, Nate. Do you think the roads are better in Carson than they are in Reno?
Well, you know, I beg to differ. Well, maybe. I mean, I walk everywhere, man. I walk 5 to 8 miles a day. And I'm over here. Right now I'm on kind of over by airport and that, but there's mm-hmm. potholes everywhere. And it's like you said, all they do is patch them, but then the patch part comes up because the cars drive over it, and then there's a hole again. So when you drive into Walmart right there on Market, you know, and right there off College Parkway,
yeah,
there's potholes on the way into Walmart. So the city was out there filling them like 2 months ago, and now the potholes are back again because they just fill it with this cheap filler. And
yeah, it looks awful.
So where's the money at, though? You pay the DMV and you can never get in the DMV, and they take all this money in. So where's the money for our roads, John? I mean, we're not that broke of a state. We have gold mines, silver mines.
No.
I mean,
and actually, we got the highest gas tax in the nation, I think. And that money wanted for the RTC for exactly that, roads. Amazing.
So where all is right. why isn't it being spent on the roads then, John?
I'll get right on it, Nate. That's, no, honestly.
Hey, we missed you ever since you left Channel 2, man. You were the best on Channel 2. I can't even watch those people.
Is that the story? I left? Is that really?
Well, that's what they say. You know, it's like, well, I know the real I know the real reason, but you were the guy that made that show. As soon as you left,
amazing
it was over.
To me that a news operation would tell stories. But thank you, Nate. I appreciate it. I don't want to get into that. All right, sir.
Take care.
All right. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. It's 11:16. We got to take a break. I'm John Potter, live and local. 884-9910 is our phone number. Call or text. Open topic till noon. Oh, boy. And my weather forecast is coming up, by the way. You'll hear me. That's me. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back shortly. FM News Talk time, 11:16.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
I'm the local every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. 884-9910 is our number. You notice by listening, if you're newcomers to this radio show, there's an awful lot that I don't know. I'm an honest man. I've lived in Nevada most of my life. I've spent decades in Reno, back starting in the 76? But there's a lot I don't know. I actually learned from you folks. Do free-range chickens ever get lost? I don't know. Why are there no bee batteries? I don't know. Cows eat grass. Therefore, if I eat cows, am I a vegetarian by proxy? I don't know if you are. But as I said, I learned from you. Texts. John, thank you for the on-air explanation. Your response makes sense. Regards. Oh, thank you, sir, or ma'am. I appreciate that. That was a call complaining that I interrupt too much. John, part of the road problem is EVs. They are close to 150% heavier than gas cars. I brought this up. We were at a dinner party, and there's an EV car owner, and somebody had to bring that up to this person's face that, hey, your car weighs a lot heavier and you're the reason the roads deteriorate, and even worse, because you have an electric car, you don't contribute to the taxes to fix the roads. This EV owner swore up and down that his car was not any heavier than this person's SUV. There are some. And I looked into it, and the guy's right. Take a look at the weight of, like, the Nissan Leaf. I'm not talking about the big, that awful truck that Tesla makes, things like that. But your sedan, your electric sedan, not that much heavier from what people are buying, mainly SUVs, out there on the roads. Anyway, to get on with this text. They also have harder tires than gas vehicles, these EVs. They use the roads and do not pay anything for using the roads. Okay. All right. Point taken. Appreciate it. Let's see what we got here. Okay. I can't open memes. Sorry about that. This is an email. Hey, John, listening to your conversation about some of the roads around Reno, I just want to let you know that we live over on Rodney Drive at the end of Hunter Lake Road, and they've been resurfacing all the roads up here the past few weeks. Are you rubbing this into my face because of my pothole street? Email goes on. Major effort by SNC. I guess that's a construction company. And the roads are actually in fine. Oh, the roads were actually in fine condition before. Now that's just rubbing salt into the mood. Maybe it depends on where you live in Reno, if they pay attention more to certain areas. They do. I'm not that far from you. That's nearby to me, Hunter Lake Road. They sure forgot about mine. And they know about it because I was talking to a neighbor once, and he said that he's been pestering the city about the road. So we don't have any fancy local politician living on my road. It's forlorn. I want to wrap up what I said about these cameras, these Flock cameras. And I was just thinking of something. You know, I grew up literally in the seventh grade reading 1984 by George Orwell. And Big Brother always watching us. Back then, that phrase, Big Brother is watching you, meant something. And there were cameras back then in this book, 1984. The government was surveilling people. Well, I was a kid a long time ago, and over the intervening years, our society and technology have changed a lot. And in fact, we live in a world where there are cameras everywhere. Be careful about scratching your crotch or whatever else like that, because someplace, somewhere, there is a camera watching you. And most of these apparently are privately owned and operated. Some of these are government owned. And just had a call from somebody who swears Verizon has cameras out there and is selling data and plates and things to whatever for, you know, people selling us stuff. But whenever there's a crime or something, what's the first thing police do? They go around and they see the local businesses, the local residents, to ask, do you have any doorbell camera? Do you have any surveillance camera? Listen, I know this because I watch the ID channel and the body cam shows. And they do that on TV. And, well, they do here. And yes, we're all being watched. If you're kissing Lulu Bell down on the corner, you better be aware that somebody has got that on camera. But you know, the world hasn't ended in this surveillance society, and we have not seen big abuses. But what we have seen from these license plate readers, I think we've seen significant benefit. At any rate, I appreciate the good examples being set by Reno and Sparks, and I hope that if there are other agencies that I miss on this, I apologize, but I think that this technology is useful, and I believe that it's being used within a system of integrity and law. And so, you know, there are going to be people from both sides making their pitch, and I want you to be for or against. And as long as you make up your mind, I just hope that among the factors you consider will be the fact that they have been used by intelligent, honest law enforcement agencies, sometimes in very active situations. Much good has been done with these license plate readers or these flock cameras. So just resist the temptation to jump on some bandwagon that wants to resist them or take them away. The people who are against these cameras at the same time happily carry around smartphones that tell so many places you don't know where you go, how often, etc., etc. They probably know what you're saying. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to Kathy at home, I will look at my phone and there we are, our conversation word for word, because talk to text on my phone, suddenly it pops up. It's happened many times. I don't know. Maybe there's a certain keyword or something that tells the talk to text to detail the words on my screen. And after a 3-minute conversation with Kathy, I'll pull the phone out and I'll say, look at this. And we laugh looking at how stupid and dumb our conversations are. And then I turn it off. But is it really off? And where does it go? You don't really know anything about it. But just for fun, it'll floor you. Try recording a conversation with your wife or husband without them knowing. It's hilarious to read it. Kathy and I are highly educated, but according to the phone, we're just two total goofheads. All right. What else did I have? I had a, okay, a text. Yeah, okay. Mr. Potter, personally, I loathe emissions testing in general, but this is excessive. My 1998 Civic has to be tested constantly, but my former coworker in Carson City and his smoke-belching pickup gets a pass from testing solely because it isn't in a heavily populated area. Is there a smoking vehicle hotline in Nevada that you know of? And if so, do they do anything more than sending them a letter that just says, please stop, with no real consequences? Or is there anything else that can actually be done in cases like this? I don't think people like this are going to voluntarily change. And this is no name, just the number on the text.
We do have, by the way, we do have that.
Yeah, we do. Okay, I did look this up. We have a reporting number. It's from the DMV. It's called the Smog Spotter. I think it's more designed for you to call when you're behind a smoky vehicle, and you can call in the license plate number, I think. I don't know what the Nevada DMV does with that information on your call. It just says they'll investigate on the website. It says, quote, will investigate reports on any vehicle with a Nevada registration, including heavy-duty diesel trucks and vehicles based on rural areas.
Yeah. They can do this online.
Where there are no smog checks? I'm sorry, did you say something, Craig?
That only smog checks in Nevada are Clark County and Washoe County. Everybody else doesn't need to get one because they're considered rural.
And this guy is ticked off that apparently this coworker, who he apparently does not like, gets to have his belching pickup truck because the guy lives in Carson City. Well, and he has to take his car in Reno all the time for these smog checks.
Yep. Well, here, I'll give you a little secret here. If that same vehicle gets reported twice, just two times somebody reports that in different locations or whatever, can't be the same person reporting it, they will then get notified that their vehicle needs to be checked.
When you say notify, is it what this guy says? Oh, please stop doing that?
Yeah, well, they'll write them up.
Well,
fix
okay.
A ticket.
I think it's kind of funny, though, that this, and I'm looking at the Smog Spotter DMV website here, and it says, we'll investigate reports on any vehicle with Nevada registration, including heavy-duty diesel trucks and vehicles, based in rural areas. Rural areas where there are no smog checks. So these people in rural areas are already, they're supposedly legal, right? Because there are no smog checks in those rural areas. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Anybody with any information on this, we'd love to hear more. 884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local, showing my ignorance. Time for Fox News. And after that, local news with Greg Neft on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1130.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
I love your texts. 884-9910. I'm John Potter. John, it's great that you mentioned George Orwell's 1984. I was about to text that it's time to read 1984. You talked about data centers and later license plate readers this morning, but you haven't drawn the connection that probably exists between the two. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'll draw the connection. I think the license plate readers are a positive crime-fighting technology. I support our police. And to make those things work, I think as we get more of them, you do need data centers. And that's my take on things. Now, I got to preface that by saying, well, I can't preface, I already said it. But I got to make an attachment here that I think to build a monstrous data center in Yerington, plop it in the middle of Yerington or Boulder City is ridiculous. I don't understand why they can't be put somewhere else. That's, to me, the big, I know why they pick those areas, because it's probably the cheapest land or the more amenable of local government to allow it or something like that, but it doesn't fit. Anyway, what else? I see this week that some lady by the name of Julie Massino has announced that she is stepping down as a chief executive officer at Cracker Barrel. You may recall Cracker Barrel got into a bit of hot water here a while ago, and I think it was almost a year ago. Last August, when under this ladies-inspired leadership, they decided to essentially repudiate their brand. Cracker Barrel was too old-fashioned, and it was too stodgy. And the picture of some old guy sitting on a barrel, well, he was probably racist, and the typeface was all wrong, and all the little knickknacks and doodads in the restaurant, inappropriate and over the top. And so she was going to save Cracker Barrel by changing it dramatically. And America said, F you very much, give us back our old Cracker Barrel. And not since Bud Light did that dumbass thing with that lady man and the cans has a corporation backed off from the hot stove it had just touched faster than did Cracker Barrel from that rebranding. At any rate, it has been determined that her services are no longer needed and that in a month or so, there will be somebody new in there and she's going to be out the door and that's all she wrote. But here's an interesting thing, and I hope I don't piss off any high power people when I say this, but American business seems to accumulate the stupidest of people in the highest of positions. For example, on that Cracker Barrel thing, whether you or I are a Cracker Barrel fan or not, I happen to be a fan of the traditional Cracker Barrel. I think if you took 100 people and asked them if they thought a rebrand at Cracker Barrel was a good idea, that a good 80% of them would have told you that you're nuts. Leave it the hell alone. Don't mess with the goose that laid the golden egg, and that some of these things that annoy the CEO are actually the things that define this brand and bring people to it, right? You and I were not CEOs, but we know that. We knew that. The other thing is, if you ever listen to CEOs talk or get their memos in the email, which is not an uncommon phenomenon in the American private sector workplace, but you hear from these folks, and it's like they fall into this jargon that involves an awful lot of words that don't make any damn sense at all. And the deal is they fall into this jargon, this particular lingo or slang of the corporate office, and they think they're just as smart as hell, right? And I kind of think that this jargon developed so they could sling their bullcrap and make us think that they were smarter than we are. But I really don't believe that. I think they're stupider than we are, most of them. Now, I'm a capitalist. I'm not against corporations. I'm not against CEOs. I'm just saying, why the hell do we have to have the morons in the CEO chairs? We've seen the examples time and time again. You see decisions made that may well enrich a CEO. I guarantee you this chick being shown the door by Cracker Barrel, I guarantee you she's going to be rich for the rest of her life. She's a millionaire. You and I are not. And that's not going to change, okay? That's the thing about the CEO business. They can crap the bed. They can destroy a company. They can destroy the livelihoods of thousands of employees, and they still get their golden parachute. They get the golden parachute. We get the golden shower, if you know what that means. And it doesn't make any sense. To me, it doesn't seem right, and I don't know where to find the root of it. Is it our business schools? At a certain point when they're working on their MBA, I think they teach them how to be soulless monsters. And again, this is not some anti-capitalist tirade. I look at corporations and I see maybe some of the wisest financial innovations ever in our society. Much of America's traditional prosperity has come as a consequence of corporations. And I rejoice in it. And, you know, some of the big CEOs who've been good at what they do are inspirations. And they bring prosperity to a whole lot of employees and a whole lot of shareholders. And they bring good products and services to our country. I rejoice in those leaders. I just don't see very many of them anymore. And I see an unfortunate tendency for people who think they're really cool and who like to do a lot of business talk and throw out a lot of phrases and they'll act all kind of hip and stuff and like that. And yet they're dumber than hell. And they get their bonuses. Okay, they get their money, but overwhelmingly they cost employees their jobs. They cost their shareholders, their investments. They cost America economic vitality and vibrance. And I'm not a fan of it. You know, in years past, here's where old man Potter comes in. In years past in Reno, Reno used to have corporations with CEOs and chiefs of some relevance. It's been several years since that's been the case. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, big bosses, but we used to have CEOs of great significance who received great respect. We used to watch and follow Bill Hara and how he grew Harrah's to be the biggest hotel casino in town. We used to watch Jim Kelly and then John Esquaga running the Nugget into the biggest in Sparks. And people and their workers loved them. Us old timers saw how the Corrado family took a small, mostly card-playing gambling hall back when I saw it in 1976 called the El Dorado and grew that and ended up with the biggest casino company in the world. And unfortunately, as you looked at these people, some of them were okay. Some of them were freaking idiots. Some of them presided over the decay and death of massive, wonderful corporations. Look what that boss did to Sears and what that investor did to JCPenney. Together, they cost hundreds of thousands of people their jobs, and yet they all ended up rich. They were all millionaires until their last breath. So, yeah, the lady who almost effed up Cracker Barrel is going to part companies and, like I said, going to be a millionaire the rest of her life. What I don't get is, how is it that disproportionately CEOs are freaking idiots? There, I said it. It's 11:46. One more segment to go. Thank goodness. I hear the applause. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:46.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hey, welcome back, friends. Welcome back, FM News Talk Time. It is 11:50. Do I dare check the temperature here in Reno? It's currently, 89 degrees. Yes, as John Potter said in that weather forecast, good guy, by the way, reaching for a high of 100 degrees, and I think I saw 104 expected in Yerington for today. Downtown Reno streets like Virginia between 2nd and 6th is closed off right now. Some side streets, too, for the Wing Cook-Off Festival. Friend of mine went there last night, said it was great. He said the wings are $2 a piece, I think, universally with all the booths. I think that's the price. But it's not just the wings you're paying for. It's the music, the entertainment, the good vibes, the party atmosphere. I think it's worth it, personally. Tomorrow, Sparks is going to close off their downtown, Victorian Square, and side streets ahead of Hot August Nights coming to town, or I should say Reno Sparks, Monday. The main events begin Monday in Reno and Sparks. Today, Hot August Nights is in Virginia City. And the RGJ asks, will Hot August Nights ever allow classic cars from the 1980s? Should Hot August Nights start allowing cars from the 1980s to register the classic car event? It's a question the RGJ says gets asked a lot. Says Hot August Nights. People ask Hot August Nights that. The DMC DeLorean. The Ferrari Testarossa. Is that how you pronounce it? You see, I'm so broke, I can't even pronounce the Ferrari car. The Audi Quattro. The Chevrolet Camaro IROC Z. These are the cars that people who call Hot August Nights say should be included in the festival. But they aren't because they're from the 1980s. But all five of those cars are iconic. They defined the 80s and our youth. You know, now people who have their first car in the 1980s, you're in the age group where Hot August Nights wants to appeal to you. So it does make sense. But anyway, those five cars are banned from cruising at hot August nights, at least for the official events held during the annual Classic Car Festival. And the RGJ ends the article by saying, "Not bodacious, dude." Oh, okay. I think maybe Hot August Nights has a point. Maybe it's too soon for the 80s cars, don't you think? I mean, ultimately, I dread the day in the future where people are going to have to somehow get excited by a classic Ford Probe or a Taurus. We do have too many Mustangs now, though, so maybe a little variety is good. My dad, he loved me and my brothers and my sister and mom, but he loved his 1935 Ford Phaeton most of all. He'd be out there on Sunday washing it and polishing it. Half the pictures I have of my dad are of him washing his 1935 Ford he bought from his dentist. It was his absolute pride and joy. And we all need to have that pride and joy. I was a car person growing up. All us teens were. We'd bury our heads in Motor Trends and Car and Driver magazines. You really don't see that now. You know, my first two cars were mom's hand-me-downs. First car I had, her 1964 T-Bird. Then I got mom's 1973 Mustang. Then all on my own, you know, everything I bought after that was bought used. Would you believe you could buy a working car for $250 in 1977 and keep it running with just a little this and that? I have this old 75 Chevy station wagon that was so worn out, my apartment key could start it, and it got me through three or four hungry years until it finally just gave up the ghost. And then I had a used Chevy convertible that was bigger than a Cadillac. Love that car. I was driving the boss to lunch when the brakes in my big, cheap, used Chevy convertible gave out. This was like, I think, a $700 car. And so we're going to lunch here, and right there on the main street, the brakes didn't work, and there was a red light in front of me, and I veered into the opposing line of traffic. Thank God nothing was coming that way, and I just barely missed some cars and coasted into a 7-Eleven parking lot. True story. We didn't get hit, but I heard my boss scream. And after that, he didn't want me around the stations. So I moved on. I was happy, and I was so broke. In Reno, I bought my first new car in 1978 from Pride Dodge. Remember Pride Dodge on Kitsky? It was a bright yellow 1978 MG Midget. Don't you know I wish I had that car now? Even though it really left me stranded a lot. It was a new car, but driving over Hoover Dam, the drive shaft just fell out of it and the car had to be towed to Vegas. And then I did very well in Vegas, and I bought a new, very expensive 1986 Nissan Z300. After that, a Lincoln. My gravy days. Anyway, I get nostalgic about cars, and if you do too, maybe we'll do this next Saturday. Cars and stories, always welcome on this show. Welcome for Hot August Nights, and always welcome on this show. Cars are more fun than politics. I'm sorry, boss, but they are. You want politics? Like I said, okay, here's my... contribution to the political subjects today. We have the comedian here, and the topic came up. Who do you want as your next president? Boy, that's a good call-in topic. Might do that as we get close to November or maybe a year or two. Who do you want as our next president? I like that AI Teddy Roosevelt that President Trump was interacting with at Teddy's presidential library. That is, that's, don't laugh. You know, in the future, holograms and all, AI... No, You don't want to think about it. I know. And also, somebody suffered through another power outage. It was yesterday afternoon at Golden and Panther Valley. And I only bring this up because it's like these things are happening like three times a month now. And I think the notification system with the updates has to be upgraded because, you know, the power goes out and I call and call and I go through their website and I find where to report an outage. And I did that. I put all this work into it, even though it was my whole street that was lost power. But I did all this work to notify NV Energy that the power's out. Well, I received a call that notified me that the power was back on a few minutes after the power went back on. So I'm just saying it's 2026 and there must be a way to communicate factually and efficiently so residents don't have to scour for answers. And we rarely hear the reason for the outage after the power's back on. You know, it's just, okay, got it off my chest. I appreciate you good folks for putting up with me. I'm exhausted, to be honest with you. Thank you, Craig, in Carson City. It's been great you handling the calls. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you next Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM.